Today, as we continue our series about prophecy and promise, looking specifically at Old Testament, we're going to tie these readings that we've just heard together from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and also Mark chapters 2 and 3, looking at the idea of Sabbath. It's actually kind of an ironic message today, because if there's been a Sunday that I felt like rolling over, today is it. Like, I was ready to hit that snooze another half a dozen times. Just felt like one of those, you know what, I'm comfortable and I could stay right here for a while. Oh, wait, there's work to do. Anybody else feel that way? Like, regularly? How many feel like you get plenty of rest all the time? Like three. How many, like, through the month of May, you feel pretty good about how much sleep you got just the whole month of May? May's different. We'll talk about our May calendar in a little bit. Actually, it's part of the message, our May schedule that we've had. Rest can be hard. It can be hard for us to find it. Our bodies need sleep. Agree? Sure. Because if we don't get enough, we can tell. But what's really interesting is medically, we aren't sure why that is. I found this article. It's from livescience.com. It was published in July 2017, so it's not that old. So it's not like it's, you know, outdated information, unless maybe a discovery was made in the last almost year. But it said this, and it was fascinating to me. Humans spend nearly a third of their lives asleep. So if we figure, you know, 8 hours of the day, that's a third of the day. So if we, just simple math, nearly a third of their lives asleep. Going without sleep will literally make you psychotic and eventually kill you. It's clear that shut eye is crucial to the body's ability to function, but no one knows what sleep actually does. It's sort of embarrassing, said Dr. Michael Halassa, a neuroscientist at New York University. It's obvious we need to eat, for example, but it's not clear why we need to sleep at all. Huh. Didn't know that. That medically we're not sure why we sleep. I think we know why we sleep, though. Because God made us this way, right? God created us with this basic human need. And when we go without it, how many have had a season or a time when you felt like sleep deprived? See, that's almost unanimous. Yeah. Like, not many of us feel like we're sleeping plenty, but almost all of us have, like, this, I can remember when I kind of looked like that guy, right? And whether it was because something was happening or you just felt like you couldn't rest or whatever the reason, a lot of us have felt like we haven't had enough. But God created us with this need to have sleep, to have rest. Today we look at this command and its effect of the Sabbath, and we pull out first words from Jesus that the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. The rest that we need was made for us, for our benefit. God demonstrated rest for us at creation. So chapter 1 of the book of Genesis is the six-day account of creation, that God said, let there be, and there was, and in the order that God made it, and it was all good, and then very good. And Genesis chapter 2, so the narrative continues past that chapter break, get to chapter 2, and it says, and then God rested. This is what it says. God rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God rested. He also built within creation, as we observe even different species and nature, that there are seasons. Like the land produces, and then there's the season when it doesn't. And the, you know, leaves on most of the trees, not the evergreens, of course, but a lot of trees, you know, the leaves come out and all the, you know, this time of year is great. There's blooms and flowers and different things that happen. But then those things, you know, stop. Why? Because there's a cycle, a balance in production and then rest. And in agricultural circles, you know, people know that you have to give the land opportunity to rest before, if you overplant, then farmers, you know, eventually the soil's worn out and it won't produce anymore, right? So this is all built into creation. We can observe this. Bears hibernate, for example. And even in the tomb, Jesus rested. I do not believe that there's any accident at all that between crucifixion and resurrection, there's a Sabbath in the middle. This was the demonstration from Jesus that this was rest in the tomb. He was buried, he rested on that Sabbath, and then the Sabbath was over. He got up, right? So we see that God demonstrated rest for us, and God also commanded his people to rest. The word Sabbath first appears in the way that is used in that way, like to take a Sabbath day, doesn't appear until the middle of the book of Exodus. In Exodus, so God has brought his people up out of Egypt, and in the command that we heard in Deuteronomy chapter 5, they are instructed to remember those days. Remember Egypt when you were a slave. How many days do you think they worked when they were enslaved in Egypt? Every day. This is what slaves do, right? They don't get a day off. So they're remembering that. The word Sabbath, though, it's interesting, comes up the very first time when the manna is coming. So in the morning, they look out and there's the white manna on the ground. And the word manna literally means, what is it? So there's this, what is it, on the ground for them to eat. And they're instructed on the sixth day, get twice as much because it will last until the seventh day, because the seventh day is a Sabbath. So there won't be any on the seventh day. So that's the instructions. That's the first time it's used in that kind of context. But in the Hebrew language, when God rested on that seventh day, it's the word God, Shabbat, which is in Hebrew what the root of our English word Sabbath. So God Sabbathed on the seventh day. And then here the manna will Sabbath, will not show up on that seventh day. And then when we get to Exodus 20, which is the first giving of the commandments, remember the Sabbath day. And here in Deuteronomy 5, remember the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy is Moses instructing his people, instructing God's people as they're about to enter the land. So Deuteronomy is the really kind of second giving of the law, the instruction. This is the instruction manual. When you enter the land, do it this way. So Deuteronomy 5 is the reminder of what had happened in Exodus. So God commanded that we rest from work. Now, he had also assigned work, even in the garden, at creation, back again in Genesis 1 and 2, that they were assigned, they were placed in the garden. God placed man in the garden to work it and keep it. And then even in the curses in Genesis 3, after that first sin, there's the curse toward Adam. Now the ground is cursed because of you, and by the sweat of your brow you're going to eat. So there's work involved. God commanded, God created that we would work, right? And then he said, but have that Sabbath, have that time when you don't. So rest here means don't work. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, Sabbath. Here's what it said in verse 14. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work. Or your son or daughter or male servant, female servant, etc., you know, your livestock, sojourner, so that what your male servant, your female servant may rest as well as you. God saw this need that we would have. And probably God saw this, you know, inclination that we would have to ignore our own need, to, you know, work all the way through and not rest and not take that time. So it means don't work, but it doesn't necessitate being idle. God did not say, he said, don't work, you don't do any work, but he didn't say, therefore, don't move. Therefore, set up your recliner and sit there all day, and you can't stand up and you can't do. Fasting was strictly forbidden on the Sabbath, in fact. So they were supposed to eat. They were supposed to, in fact, you know, celebrate what God had done. It's a day of reflection and even feasting. Luther, in the small catechism, so almost 500 years ago, Luther put together the brief confession of the church, what we believe, and he wrote explanations to all the commandments and to the what he identified as the six really important parts of our faith. So he took the third commandment, the way we number them, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And his explanation says that we would not despise preaching and God's word, but gladly hear and learn it. Which is kind of interesting. There's nothing in Luther's explanation about not working or on a particular day. And I remember as a kid thinking, well, how does that work? That really ties closer to what Jesus demonstrated in here in Mark chapters 2 and 3. Before we get to that, though, we can admit this, that restless people have a hard time resting. Are we human beings? Are we human doings? A lot of times our activity, our responsibility, our schedules can get overwhelming. We're busy, we're overscheduled and overcommitted far too often. The month of May, which we briefly talked about just a minute ago, for our family was one thing after another, it felt like. Gina was confirmed on May 6th, which meant family came to town and we had a party to celebrate that. It was all very good. It was fun and it was a good thing to do to celebrate that. But it also meant, well, we had to prepare and we had to clean and we had to do the things we did. And then there's also this time of year, it's the end of the school season, so we got to, you know, prepare for that and attend the different concerts and events and celebrations and awards night and different things, which are all very good things. And then on top of that, the Van Vechten family, as who are, you know, members of this church for quite a long time, have moved to Ohio, so we hosted an event. We invited some Body and Soul ladies and a few people from the church, and we had some people over to celebrate them as, you know, and to send them off, which was all very good. And then last week on Sunday, we had an event for our neighbors, and we gathered some people together from our neighborhood, and it was really great. But then we tore the May. So what we do, I don't know how you schedule your stuff, but we like to have it visually hanging on our wall. So we get one of a desk blotter kind of calendar, and it hangs on the wall. We needed. We used to use one that was this big. We had to write too small. And it's not my eyesight. I mean, which is becoming its own challenge. But anyway, we needed a bigger calendar because there's more words, it seems like, all the time. So we have the bigger one, and it's on the wall, and we tore off the month of May, and it was like, wow, 31 days in May, and there's 62 days worth of stuff written on this calendar. It feels like that was our schedule. What was yours like? Chances are it was possibly similar to that. We get pulled in all kinds of different directions. And as a result, we can get tired. We can get burned out. When the schedule is busy, when stress levels rise, when we become too focused on some things to see maybe what God is doing, and I will confess that I have absolutely done that, we can get burned out, stressed out, and overwhelmed. And then this is the vicious cycle. Have you ever felt like you're burdened and you have to, you know, work harder and you have to do more, and then you get tired, but then because you're tired but stressed at the same time, then it's so much harder to rest? Isn't that the worst place? Because then you're in this ridiculous cycle of I can't get away from it and rest because it just keeps pulling me back, and maybe and what do? I'll just work through this time. How many have said, I'll sleep when I'm dead? That's not a great answer, right? What is the answer? Rest. Oh, that sounds obvious. That's like saying to a hungry person, eat. Sometimes we need that reminder too. Right? Rest. It's like telling a winded person, breathe. Maybe that's the word you need today is rest. Find some rest. Rest brings restoration. You ever felt like this lady that's going to show up on the screen here with the end of a rest, like you just feel like you could conquer the world because you got some restoration, you got some rest, you had some recovery? Yeah. You ever had like that power nap? I love power naps. Yeah. And you wake up and you're like, wow, what's like sleeping for 2 hours? It's like 9 minutes. Like, whoa, I'm ready to take on the world. I can do this. Rest brings restoration because time off, sometimes we need just some time away. We need to decompress. We need to step back from whatever it is that's just wearing us down and have some time. What does that look like? And for each of us, it's probably different. So we need time off. We need sleep. My wife is a better sleeper than I am. Not that she's so good at sleeping. Like, how do you evaluate that? She's good at going to bed. Like, she gets tired, she goes to bed. She's done this since she was young. She'll tell you stories that she used to, like, get up, there'd be people in the house or something going on. If she was tired, she would go to her room, put herself to bed. As a child, she would do that. Not me. If there's people in the house, if there's something going on, if there's, you know, a conversation to have or the worst, I wonder if anything's on that channel. Nope. Oh, here we go back around again. Well, I'd better check them a second time because some of these might have changed over the 4 minutes that it took me to go through all my channels and still nothing. Okay. Third time, I bet we can find something. No? I don't know if there's anything I want to watch on the Netflix or... No. 45 minutes later, well, wore out the remote battery, so I guess I'll go to bed. You ever been there? Oh, go to sleep. I'm preaching to myself right now because I'm not that great at it. Or hobbies and activities sometimes can be restorative to us. It doesn't have to be where we are idle in order to have some restoration. I have found that for me, working outside, get my hands dirty, can be very restoring. Like if I cut the grass and trim everything and get out the blower and clean up, make it all look nice, then I'm like, aha, I can do things. And I feel good. There's restoration in that. Maybe it's travel. How many enjoy travel? So sometimes when we travel, we get away, we break the routine, we get out of the cycle. And see some stuff. Like, we went on a nice long trip last summer, and we were doing so much that we got done with it, and we were tired, right? You ever come back from vacation and you're tired? But it was a different tired, see? It was a much different tired. We were tired from just physically being involved in all that, but it was really good. It was great to be away. Those are all good. But the ultimate in restoration comes when we find rest in Christ. Find rest in Christ. Psalm 62, I mentioned it at the absolution. My soul finds rest in God alone. He is my strength and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will never be shaken. Or at Jesus' invitation found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we're worn out, when we're worn down, when we feel like we've worked and worked and, you know, we've just been grinding it, sometimes we need to come to Jesus for that rest, that soul rest that he gives. When we're stressed out and burned out and we've been, you know, wearing ourselves down through all the things that have happened or we've done or we've not counted on God for, we need to come to Jesus for that rest. When our confidence is shaken and we just aren't sure of what the future holds and how we're going to get everything done we need to get done and what's going to happen and we just have all these thoughts just flying around in our heads, we need to come to Jesus who promises us rest. And especially when we're burdened by something that we've done or maybe something that we neglected to do that we knew we should have done, And we just are worn down by guilt. We're even ashamed, and we don't know where we can turn, and we feel like, wow, God, what, I blew it. We need to come to Jesus, who can give us that rest. That rest for our souls that's found in the peace we have in Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We rest. Revelation chapter 14 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. In the Lord being key. Die in the Lord from henceforth, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. So we will rest on that day. But we need to rest in Christ throughout our days. We need to Sabbath. But Jesus points out that Sabbath is a principle, not a performance. That's where Luther gets his idea of, in the explanation, that it's about hearing and studying and meditating on God's word much more than it is about sitting in the lazy boy on a Saturday or a Sunday. It's not about being idle and doing nothing. It's about setting our priorities in the right perspective. It's like keeping our lives in balance is much more than taking a full day off. Now, a day off is great. Don't get me wrong. That's why I'm out of the office on Friday, and sometimes I'll call you back, but most of the time I'm going to make you wait. So it's not a particular day. It doesn't mean to refrain from tasks, but by the first century, and this is important to note, the Pharisees had built up all these rules. So the commandment said, remember the Sabbath day, don't do any work. By the Pharisees' time, or first century, Jesus' day, there were 39 basic actions that were forbidden on the Sabbath. Here's part of the list. Sowing, plowing, reaping, threshing, grinding, baking, shearing, washing, weaving, tying and untying, trapping, slaughtering, bearing a burden. I don't know what that means. I guess carrying too much weight. Building or tearing down a building, starting a fire, get this one, stopping a fire, gotta wait till Sunday to put your house out, I guess, sorry, hitting with a hammer, and more. So this is the scene in the latter part of chapter 2 of Mark that we heard read. So the disciples are walking along with Jesus, and they're walking along fields, and they're plucking heads of grain. That doesn't mean that the plucking of heads of grain is like they're stealing from the farmer. Not what it means. Because that would have been bad every day, except that God's people were instructed, if you've got a field and the road goes next to your field, guess what? People passing through can pick what they need if they're hungry. It's part of the deal. Okay? So, that's okay. Picking heads of grain, that's fine. But they're doing it on the Sabbath, and this is where the Pharisees got all twisted. They're like, oh, it's the Sabbath. Look at them. They're harvesting. Oh, but wait, there's more. They're also doing this, and the grain, you know, they're separating the grain from the, oh, they're winnowing. Like, that's, can't do that today. I guess you eat it whole or whatever. Oh, but you're grinding the grain with your teeth unless you're going to swallow it whole. And you're preparing a meal, which is forbidden. You needed to do that yesterday. Like, this is the mindset of the Pharisee. And Jesus is like, you guys are ridiculous. You got it backward. You got it wrong. You're focused too much on the little nitty-gritty details, and you missed the big picture completely. The Sabbath was made for man. That problem isn't exclusive to the first century, however. I heard a story of a person who traveled to the Holy Land. A group of us are going to go to the Holy Land in 2020, and we're going to go see places where Jesus was. I don't know where we're going to be on Saturday. I got to look because I want to know if this still happens. I heard a story about a person who traveled to Jerusalem or, you know, a major city, so a hotel with enough floors you need an elevator. So, you know, Friday, everything's normal. It's like a regular city kind of experience. Saturday, which is the Sabbath, right, according to, you know, that's the seventh day. So Saturday on the Sabbath, go to the elevator, and the doors open, get on the elevator, and every button on the elevator is already lit. Like, oh, whose kid was on? You're doing that thing that kids do. One by one, go down, eat breakfast, get back on the elevator. Oh, that kid got me again. All these buttons are pushed. Go back up to the room, get back on the elevator again. All these buttons. Well, whose kid is... Finally ask a hotel staff person who says, oh, no, it's the Sabbath. That's work. What? So instead, this is how the elevator is going to operate all day long. Really? So we're still missing it. The point is, don't miss it. Don't miss what God created. Don't misalign what God created. It's not about rest and be idle. It's about life in balance. Yes, we rest, but then we can also work from rest. Jesus took time off. Time away. There's multiple accounts in the gospel narratives about Jesus going up on the hillside by himself. He went up there to pray, not to just sit around. I don't know that Jesus ever, like, sat around. But he went up there to pray, to meditate, to be in communion with his Father. He took time off, time away. And then what did he do next? He went back to work. He went back and healed. He went back and fed. He taught. He instructed. He did all the things that he did. And then when it was necessary, he, again, would take some time away. Get away from the crowds. Go out on the boat. Do all the things that Jesus did in order to rest and rejuvenate, which I guess means to juvenate again. Really, that's all? I thought that was really funny. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad, but it was also, okay, anyway. His point is this: doing good doesn't take a day off. This is the point we see when Jesus goes to the synagogue. This is in chapter 3 of Mark that Mel also read. So he goes to the synagogue, and then there's the man with the withered hand, and they're watching him, right? What's he going to do? Is he going to heal on the Sabbath? But Jesus' question is really important. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. Why? Because they had misunderstood. Jesus worked on the Sabbath. He healed, like the gospel lesson said, and he faced criticism for it. But the point that Jesus makes is that Sabbath rest doesn't mean neglecting needs. He even brings up an Old Testament time. David and his guys, they go into the temple and they eat the bread from the temple. This is like strictly for the priests, but they were hungry. So which would God prefer? That we go hungry and we're like, until the next day? Or that we eat and we find satisfaction and we take care of ourselves? Oh yeah, God's going to lean toward the let's do good. Let's meet needs. Let's take care of what needs to be taken care of. For us, 21st century people here in this context in which we find ourselves, we have work to do. We have work. There's all kinds of ways that we will do our work because God called us into this opportunity, this life that includes work. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which he prepared in advance for us to do. That's from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Some examples kind of flash by on the screen. Help out with Vacation Bible School. Feed the hungry. Pick up some stuff. Help a neighbor. It might even look like opening your home to your neighborhood, which we've been talking about for the last several weeks. About those kinds of opportunities to do works that he commanded us to do. He commands us to work and to rest, and we need to do both. There was a book that Paula and I both looked at several years ago now that describes it in this way, a pendulum that swings back and forth. And this is not to hypnotize you, just to kind of set that in the mind, that illustration of how life is. Life goes back and forth. There are times when we will rest, and there are times when we will work. And then we will need to rest, and then we will work from that rest. The important part is to rest when it's time to rest, and to work when it's time to work. And there will be times when we will work on Saturday or Sunday or the other 5 days of the week. And there are times that we will rest on Tuesday. And that's fine. But to keep life in that balance and to keep the right perspective, that's what God's calling us to both work and rest, to have our right priorities and order them well, to keep life in balance the way God intended, to not only work and get all stressed out and burned out and burn ourselves out completely, which we can do. And to definitely not be idle and just sit at home on the lazy boy. That's a good name for it. Let's balance our lives according to God's plan and do the things he wants us to do, which includes taking care of ourselves the way he intended. Amen.